Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been thinking a lot about friends these past few days. Certainly, it's because Jesus speaks of his disciples as friends in today's gospel lesson. Maybe it's because on Friday, I got to get together with some other fully vaccinated friends and share a meal together, the first time since before the pandemic. Maybe it's because twice recently, as I've been driving up and down the road, having my music on shuffle, that "What a Friend We Have in Jesus" came on the radio. I've been wondering to myself, what is it that makes some people friends and leaves other people in our lives acquaintances? What do you think it is? Common interests? Shared values? Perhaps a shared sense of humor? Just plain history, common and shared experiences? Perhaps a similar worldview? Is it just that you find yourself sharing a common time and place, and it's merely convenient? Or maybe it's some combination of any and all of these factors. In the ancient world, where Jesus said what he said to his disciples about them being his friend, they had a really neat notion of friendship. Aristotle said that a friend is somebody who helps you to be wise or to be good. A friend is somebody who helps you to be wise or to be good. And a few hundred years later, after Jesus said this to his disciples, a theologian named Soren Kierkegaard said that to love another person is to help that person to love God. And to be loved is to be helped in loving God. I love that. To love another person is to help that person love God. And to be loved is to be helped in loving God. That's a lot to think about. But we all need help in loving God, and Jesus, our ultimate friend, helped his disciples to be both wise and good, and he helped them being side by side with them, showing what it means to love God and love others, ultimately by laying down his life for them. Jesus shows us with his very life, with his actions and words, what it is to love God. And in giving us his Holy Spirit, he helps us love God. So in today's gospel lesson, Jesus calls his disciples friends. In the Gospel of John, his criteria for what makes a friend is threefold. One, Jesus' friends are those who love one another. Two, his friends are not merely servants, although we do serve him, but his friends are not merely servants because he has pulled us up to a level on par with his own by sharing what it is that he knows from the Father. And three, finally, to be Jesus' friend means that he chose us to be his friend. Jesus chose us, and he chose us long before we ever even thought of choosing him. Jesus commands his disciples to remain and abide in him and his love for them, and this is most certainly true. But he also just plain loves them, enough to give his life for them and for us. And moreover, he's very clear that whatever they have thought, they didn't actually choose him or decide to follow him or consciously even become his disciples. Rather, he chose them. This will be critically important to the disciples in the hours preceding this, because this conversation took place on the evening before Jesus' crucifixion, the night when he had washed their feet and the night in which he shared his final supper with them. Just a few hours after this conversation, Jesus would be arrested, tried, convicted, and executed as an enemy of the state, all of which he endured in order to demonstrate the love that God has for his disciples, and indeed the profound love that God has for the entire world. But that action will not only witness to Jesus's love for his disciples, it also would leave them feeling bereft and alone and frightened, which is why Jesus both urges them to abide in him and reminds them that what is more important is that they know he will abide in them. And so he tells them that they did not choose him, but rather he chose them. This matters, I think, because if it's finally up to us to follow Jesus and to choose him and to remain in him and to obey his commandments, we're lost. We simply don't do it, and perhaps it's because we can't do it. We can try, and there is something very important about trying, but when push comes to shove, we can do no good on our own. But the good news is that God chose us, and that God loves us, and that God plans to use us to make this world that God loves a better place. Like Joe said, it's not that God's choosing us means we won't endure pain and heartache and suffering. We've all lived life here, and we know that is just not the case. But rather, because we know that God has chosen us and loves us and will use us, gives us the courage to face the challenges and renews our strength to do something about them. Ultimately, we can't fix, let alone redeem, this world. And that's why that is God's work to do. But knowing that God has promised to do so can provide us with the strength and energy to make the little corner of the world that we live in a better place. There's a story about Martin Luther. Somebody asked him what he would do if he only had one more day to live, how he would spend that day, one more day to live. And he replied that he would plant a tree. Now, if I had one day to live, or if you had one day to live, I'm not sure that that would be our response. We might want to get together with those that we love and spend a little bit more time together. And we might come up with a list of a few other things. But if we only had one day left to plant a tree, and I think that speaks to the hope that Luther had for the future, that the future is God's, and it is God's gift to God's children and to the world. Because we are chosen, because we have the gift of being God's, we are freed to live like Jesus loves, laying down our lives for the sake of others. Let us live into that word and that promise, so that while we are invited to abide and obey and choose and all of that which is good and important, that we can also hear and receive the good news that God has chosen us. God has chosen you and you and you and you. God has chosen us once and for all. Thanks be to God. Amen.